Hello and welcome to the Two Roads and Two Destinies radio ministry. For Mark Beebe and Jeff Buckles, this is Mike Moody. We're with you each weekday afternoon from 1 to 1:15. And our goal is to teach the Word of God, edify the saints, and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, each brother rotates the speaking from week to week. And now, our message for today. This week with our broadcast, we have a different theme. We are rotating, if you're normally with us, between our brothers Jeff, Mark, and myself. We'll take a week at a time studying different books or subjects pertaining to the study for that week. So today, we're going to look at, and through this week, the study of the church. We'd like to start off with a couple or three messages, looking at the difference between the universal church and the local church.
Pray with me on that. And it's really been on my heart to have a teaching chart, because the one I have now is more of an evangelistic chart. But anyway, that's why I believe this is on my heart. I've been studying and praying over this subject somewhat in the last couple of weeks. And we find ourselves in Ephesians 5, just to jump in. Look at chapter 5. And before we read anything, I'd like to mention a couple of points. What do you think about a mystery? When we say a mystery, at least the world, their minds go back often to novels, maybe television programs, and they think of what they call murder mysteries. Think of those mysteries of some of the programs that you may have seen growing up, like the Hardy Boys. I'm not here to say let's spend our time in these things, but I just know they are known in the world. But instead of mysteries of that nature, we could turn to a mystery in the Word of God. In one sense, turn to the Old Testament. And a new Christian, or even someone who's been saved a while, as you read through the Bible and you go through Genesis and you see these different stories, you see Noah and the flood that's going to come. If you've never read that passage, do you remember back when you first was saved and you read through the Old Testament? What's going to happen next? It's like a mystery to you. It was kind of exciting. You look at those historical books, 1 and 2 Samuel. What about David and Saul? Who's going to kill who? It's like David had the opportunity, but he would not raise his hand against the Lord's anointed. Saul hated David. He was jealous of him. And we see he was going after David. How often do we see when he would be out there in the cave of Adullam, David was there. Those that were discontented in debt and such as that would come unto David, but he would not raise his hand against Saul. But it's like a mystery, a story that you'd have to follow. But yet we know this is a true story. Then what about 1 and 2 Kings, Elijah and Elisha, all these miracles in these unique situations? Kings also, with all the different kings, that was a mystery in one sense, that you would keep reading and see what's going to happen next. There was a split kingdom. There was the northern and the southern. It was Judah in the south and Israel in the north. And we see in that particular time that Israel had 19 different kings, the northern kingdom. You know, only 7 of them died of a natural cause. You want to read a mystery book? Read 1 and 2 Kings. 12 of the 19 died because someone else came and took him off the throne. We have plenty of mystery and good reading in the Word of God, if you want to say that reverently speaking. But when we think of a New Testament mystery, it's a little different, isn't it? A mystery is something previously not revealed. We think of the rapture. We think of the church. We think of how it tells us that Christ in you, that is, the Spirit of God living in you once you're a child of God. When you're born again, born into the family of God, Christ lives in you. These are just a sample of some of the around, I believe it's 11 mysteries in the New Testament that's revealed unto us. And we find one here in the twin epistles of Paul. It's mentioned in Colossians, it's mentioned in Ephesians. They're right here, right close to one another. Philippians is between them. But let's read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 30. we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. If you turn over just a few pages to Colossians, they call these the twin epistles because so often we see similar language and same subjects studied in both of these or brought forth by the Spirit of God in Colossians and Ephesians. Colossians chapter 1, and we see down at verse 24, Paul is writing to these Christians who he has never actually met. We see he had some of the same friends, but here were some people that he was praying for that he had not yet met face to face. So we see in Colossians 1, 24, who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Back to Ephesians 5. So we see here, mentioned in both Ephesians and Colossians, the mystery. We think of the church. The rapture is an interesting mystery. That one day, we that are here on the earth, when the Lord comes, will be caught up. Even if we have died, as my father-in-law has, as a believer in Christ, no worry, the dead shall rise first. We shall be with him forevermore. So here we have another mystery, the mystery of the church. Now, one illustration. Think of the difference between the universal church, which is all those in this world that are saved, regardless of whether you meet in this assembly, in this building, or whether you're meeting in Africa under a big oak tree, which literally happens, missionaries will tell you. They'll gather, where two or three are gathered together, and they'll say, this is the place, we'll meet under this big oak tree. They're meeting in the name of the Lord. Or whether you're in China in an underground meeting when your life could be taken for gathering to the name of Christ. Wherever you're at, you're in the universal church when you're saved. But then the local church is the local gathering. This is an assembly of God's people, just like anywhere else in the world that meets to the Lord. But we see here one illustration. Think of the human family. Wherever you are, if you are man or woman, you are in the family, the universal family, as far as mankind is concerned. Is that not true? Even if you may speak a different language, our brother Roberto come up from Monterrey, Mexico, same human family. Even if he had not been a child of God, we're all the same human family. But you know, when you come into a local environment, my home, or any of the homes that's represented here today, that is a local family, and it is in a specific place. It's in my house on 912 Main Street. So let's liken the fact that all humans are in the mankind family, but only your home is a local family to you. That those gather together. Now, that might be somewhat of a crude illustration, but liken that to what we'd like to look at today is the difference between the universal church and the local gathering. Now the reason that we find this is important is also, look at Ephesians 5. Back up a few verses from what we read earlier. Look at verse 22. Ephesians 5, 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his own wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. So here we see, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So, a simple truth in one sense, who did the Lord give himself for? Or what? Who or what? Certainly, he did not die in a simple way. It wasn't the building, was it? When we say he gave himself for the church, in quoting this passage, he gave himself for the people that were in the family of God. He died for those that would come unto him and be saved. Yes, we know John 3:16 says he also gave himself for the world. But also in Galatians 2:20, Paul said he loved me and gave himself for me. So it's a worldwide death. He died for the world. He died for me as an individual. And you, if you're here without Christ, you can say, as with Paul, he loved me and gave himself for me. But we have here a wonderful truth. That not only did he die for the world, not only did he die for me and you as individuals, but he gave himself for the church. Now, when he gave himself, that was before the church age began, wasn't it? That was at the cross of Calvary. So therefore, in anticipation of the church age, he gave himself for the church. And we see here in the great description here of a glorious church, having not spot or wrinkle or any such thing. We see here the tremendous description. As one day, we'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we'll see that time of the great time of the marriage supper when we see Christ as the bridegroom and we as the bride united. We see his love for us. So is this important of a thing to the very Savior himself, we may do well to study this subject. So why do we say do we need to make a distinction between the local and the universal? The reason for this is mentioned a couple of times in the book of Matthew. We see on our outline beside the word universal, Matthew 16:18, and beside the word local, Matthew 18:20. Now these two verses, again, is before the death of Christ. This is anticipation of the death of Christ, and therefore it is in anticipation of the coming church age, which we find ourselves in today. So when the Lord was giving this truth, it was what you might call seed truth. When you throw out something, some seed, you hope that something is coming forth from it. Well, we see here, just like in John's Gospel, which was before his death also, John 13:16 is called the upper room ministry of Christ. He was teaching the disciples, instead of previous chapters, those that would reject him, he was teaching the disciples in the upper room ministry some seed truth, some truth that would come to pass that we can apply in our lives. If he was speaking of the coming of the Holy Spirit, if he was coming of abiding in Christ, this was seed truth that would come into fruition in our tremendous need that we would have these truths in the church to come. We're here now. From Pentecost to the rapture, this is the church age. Well, Matthew 16:18 says, this is the Lord speaking, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This is the universal church in seed truth. He will build his church. Now, when we think of the local assembly, well, that's different. See, the local assembly can be scattered. You see, we can see sin can come into a meeting and the lampstand be puffed out. We can see how heresy can come in and scatter a meeting. We can see people maybe out in the place where there's very few people in the area. I've seen this come to pass almost, where very few people were in an area. It was like out in the farm area. Most of the people moved to the big town, and eventually that meeting died off because there weren't any new people coming in. And they were out there in a secluded area. So in different ways, a local assembly can see. But on the universal level, it says, Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, on the local level, the local church, Christ said in Matthew 18:20, he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, that's the key, in my name, there I am in the midst. So we see that is a definition for the local church in anticipation as the Lord was giving this deed truth.
Thank you. If you have any questions or comments, please call us this week at 824-5525 or write us at 689, that's the P.O. Box, 689 in Ramsor. Join us tomorrow at 1 o'clock for the Two Roads, the Two Destinies Radio Ministry. From Mark B.B. and Jeff Buckley, this is Mike Moody.